Matthew's Gospel, please, chapter 23. We want you to know that you are most welcome here tonight. We're glad to see each one that is here. Now, we always say that at the beginning of the meeting, but it's not because we need something to start the meeting with. We appreciate the interest and attendance and support of all that are coming and the help of those that are meeting with us in the prayer meetings as well is greatly appreciated. One verse only, please, in Matthew chapter 23. It is verse 33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? I'm not so sure that people in Vancouver or anywhere that I know of would be anxious to go to hear a preacher that preached like this. But I remind you tonight that it is the words of the Lord Jesus that we have read. And his words are most direct. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? It is a piercing question that I would like to address to every heart and every conscience in the meeting tonight. How can ye? Now the Lord Jesus is not asking a question, can you tell me a way that you can escape the damnation of hell? The Lord Jesus is addressing a people, the Pharisees, the religious of his day, the people that were chock full of their own ideas, that were right, really quite content, that they were all right, that everything was going to turn out right for them. And the Lord Jesus says, how can people like you, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? To those people that the Lord Jesus spoke, it was a most unexpected question. And it may be there are some that have come into the meeting tonight sitting very comfortably and really expecting that everything is going to turn out all right. It may be a religious leader, it may be a parent, it may be a friend, or it may be someone you have a great deal of confidence in has told you you are going to be in heaven. I want to ask you tonight in the words of the Lord Jesus, how can ye, how can such an one as you escape the damnation of hell? These that the Lord Jesus addressed were a people who, after all, did not want to face the presence of sin in their own lives. You see, the problem, one of the problems with these Pharisees is told in the word that the Lord Jesus uses repeatedly down through this passage. Ye blind leaders of the blind. O ye blind, the Lord Jesus says more than once. Here are a people who were absolutely oblivious to their own need. Sin did not bother them because they closed their eyes to sin. They couldn't see it, and so they thought God didn't see it. Now, I do want to say very kindly tonight that men and women that are not bothered about their sin will never escape the damnation of hell. You can preach all kinds of messages to people, and you can appeal to them on all kinds of grounds, but if the Spirit of God does not make a man or woman aware of his sins, the man or woman will never escape the damnation of hell. And if there has never been reality in your thinking about the matter of your sins, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Here were people that actually operated by their own standard. Now, what God said was of passing interest to them, but what they thought was the most important thing. They took the statements of the law from the Old Testament, and they said, well, now, that's all well and good, but, you know, really, we think there are some other things you've got to consider. And so it's really not a problem of a man taking care of his mother and father. The law says, honor thy mother and thy father, but really, we would like to have a person that will dedicate all they have to the temple. That's a good cause. And so if a person neglects their father and mother, but they take all that they have and dedicate it to the temple, well, that's all right. Now, it might have sounded good. It might have made good sense for the treasury. But the problem was, it was all their own standard. They thought they could change God's standard to suit their own ideas. How can ye, who are blind to your own sin, who are setting your own standard, who have changed what you call sin, and you're content to think that what God calls sin really is not sin, and what you think is all right must surely be all right, and what satisfies you is certainly not all that bad with God. God understands and God knows. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? There are men and women, and there are perhaps some in our meeting this evening, and they are just like the Pharisees of the Old Testament. The Pharisees of the New Testament time, they are absolutely blind as to the presence of sin. But there's something more about these people the Lord Jesus addresses this piercing question to. Here are people that did not want to face either the power of their own sin. They thought that sin was a kind of a thing that you could cover up. They thought if they put on a good outer show, then that really was all that counted. If the outside was all right, then that was really all that mattered. And I think you will recall what the Lord Jesus said to them. It wasn't much of a compliment. He called them, you whited sepulchres. On the outside, my, how clean and how good and how acceptable it all looks. But within, the Lord Jesus said, there are dead men's bones. Corruption. In all its abomination is within, and you have failed to realize that you cannot do away with the corruption by whitewashing the sepulcher on the outside. Dear soul in the meeting this evening, what God is speaking about tonight is what you cannot see and what I cannot see. It is what you cannot change and I cannot change. And all the external of a good life, and all the external of trying to do what is right. And if you had 1,000 neighbors to line up to testify to your good character, it wouldn't make you any less a whitewashed sepulcher than the Pharisees of Matthew chapter 23. Because you see, it's not whitewashed as far as man is concerned. It's whitewashed as far as God is concerned. God says, what I see is the corruption of a heart that is sinful. God says, and it is most striking, God says about your heart, that the heart is deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. Who can know it? And should we labor tonight for 1 hour of a gospel meeting to try to express to you how wicked and corrupt and vile your heart is in the sight of God, we would never have exhausted the subject. Who can know it? We cannot fully express the corruption that lies within your heart. God says, who can know it? I, the Lord, try the hearts and the reins. I know exactly the depths of corruption of the human heart. And here are men that are not willing to acknowledge that. They feel their own means of covering it up is all that is required. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? To think that the garb of a religious garment around you, to think that the covering of some kind of self-righteousness, to think that the clothing of your own ideas and your own religion and whatever else it may be, to think that all of that is going to make you satisfactory to God, is somehow or other going to cover the corruption of what God sees in your heart. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? What an unexpected question for these people. And there's one other thing I want to point out to you about them, and it's this. That they did not realize the penalty of sin that God had pronounced. Do you see, this people is a people that are looking to the future and they think that all is going to be well. And they are carrying on all their outward forms and all their religion. What an unexpected disclosure it was from the Lord Jesus when at the end of this section the Lord Jesus tells them, your house is left unto you desolate. You've got absolutely nothing but an empty old form. And the day is coming when God is going to bring judgment on this house that you trust in. Their temple. Their city. The penalty of their sin was going to be a horrendous judgment that would level all that they loved and leave ravished all in the city. What a drastic penalty. And you see, the reason is this. The Lord Jesus is setting before them the true character of their sin. They rather thought their sin wasn't that bad. And yet their sin was of such drastic character that it would be brought into solemn judgment by God. There is something about your sins that you have never, never realized. And the something is this, that your sin as it stands at the present moment is so terrible to God that it is crying out for judgment, and it's only the kind hand of God that is holding back the judgment your sins deserve. It is not a matter that someday or other, some way or other, you will have done something and added so far to your sins that finally when you come to die and life can no longer be sustained, it may be an accident will take you, or it may be sickness, or it may be old age and the heart will give out and something or other will happen. And then when that comes, God will have no choice, but God will have to assign me to judgment. I want to tell you tonight, dear soul, that if God gave you at the present moment exactly what your sins deserve, exactly what your sins deserve, His hand would be closed on your breath, and in an instant your soul would be in the flames of hell. These people did not realize the penalty of their sin. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Such people will never, never turn from their sins. Such people will only be awakened by the damnation of hell. Sorrow that such people as these would never have expected this question really applied to them. There's something that burdens my heart tonight in preaching the gospel, and it is this, that we are preaching to people who do not think the message we are preaching is for them. They think we are preaching to someone else. Why, there must be some drastic sinners in the meeting tonight that these people are preaching to. There must be some hardened cases in the meeting tonight that these men are preaching to. We are preaching the message tonight to you. And it has been our heart's desire that God has given us a message for you. And there were people listening to the Lord Jesus in this day, and they thought He must mean someone else. And the piercing parry of the Savior is this. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? What an unthinkable question this is that the Lord Jesus asked. Here are men that knew the Bible. Here are men that could quote to you many passages from the Old Testament. Here are people that felt all their life long that they were on the inside track with God. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And they despised others. Why, there are other people I know and they do things that I would never do. And I have never taken the name of the Lord in vain. And I have never done this, and I have always done that. I read my Bible every day. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? To think that such who are exalted and privileged are going to know the awful damnation. Let me not take away from anything of the import of those words. Their weight, as the Lord Jesus spoke them, the damnation of hell. Oh, how unthinkable. To think that men and women with all their privilege, with all the kindness of the Savior to them, these are the class of men and women that inhabit the beloved city of Jerusalem, that the Lord Jesus looks over and His heart is breaking for them. Most touching to me that when the Lord Jesus crested the hill for his last journey to Jerusalem, when He beheld the city, He wept over it. And that word does not mean that the Lord Jesus stood silently as tears began to trickle from His eyes. I am amazed when I realize that what that means is simply this, that as the Lord Jesus stood at the top of that hill, the men that were behind Him saw His body shaking as He sobbed tears of concern for a people that He loved and longed to bless. It's the very people He is addressing now when He says, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? He has addressed the same people in Luke chapter 16 when He has described to them, I would take it to be one of their own number, the rich man, as he died in his sins and went down to hell. Oh, to think of it. Here is a man, and as far as I can understand from the story, he fared sumptuously every day, so that the last day that he lived, he fared sumptuously. He was a man that had a good meal and was living it up on the last day of life. And suddenly, from that place of privilege, the Lord Jesus told them what they would never have known. My, I think it may be that some of those men attended his funeral. And some of them were speaking about this man, how he has gone to Abraham's bosom, and how he is now in a place where there is comfort and blessing, such as he never knew on earth, even though he knew so much. And they were all saying that kind of thing. Why, just yesterday I sat at his table. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? That man is suddenly gone. From his good meals and every appearance of divine pleasure, that man is suddenly gone to the depths of a burning hell. Oh, how suddenly men will drop from time into eternity. The unthinkable is that there are some in the gospel meeting tonight who, when we gather tomorrow night, if the Lord be not come for the preaching of the gospel, could be spending their first 24 hours in hell. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Oh, the awful severity of what the Lord Jesus is speaking about. For souls to know nothing for eternity, but wave after wave after wave of divine judgment that will bury their souls in endless torment. This question the Lord Jesus asked is an unavoidable question. Let me change the question this much this evening. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? This matter that we are preaching tonight is not something you can avoid. It is not something you can evade. It is not a consideration you may pass on to someone else tonight. I want to press on every soul in the meeting this evening. There is absolutely nothing more important for you in this meeting than knowing how you can escape the damnation of hell. If I told you tonight how you could, surely now for certain, how you could make $1 million, I would be wasting time by comparison to what we are preaching in the gospel. If I could tell you tonight how you could guarantee 80 years, no matter what your age is, if I could tell you tonight how you could guarantee 80 years of continued life on earth with health, I would be wasting time by comparison. There is absolutely nothing more important than this great matter. It is an absolute necessity. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Oh, if some soul in the meeting tonight were awakened to realize the preacher is preaching to me, and it is my soul that is bound in its sins to eternal judgment. Is there any way that I can escape the damnation of hell? Thank God tonight we can tell you it is a possibility. There is an escape. For those that are willing to acknowledge their sin, for those that are willing to take the place before God as guilty, for those that are willing to recognize that the great storm cloud of divine judgment that lies ahead of me is righteously deserved, dear soul, tonight, it is possible to escape the damnation of hell. It's possible only because the storm clouds burst upon the head of the Savior at Calvary. We are preaching tonight the Savior who loved men and women, who came from heaven to die upon the cross. He came as the Lamb, the sacrifice given for the guilty. Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Dear soul, here is God's answer for you. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. It is possible to escape the damnation of hell. It is possible to have every sin removed. Let me tell you tonight, if the devil is whispering otherwise in your ear, let me tell you tonight on the authority of God's word, before you go through that archway at the back of this hall tonight, you can have every sin forgiven and you can be assured of escaping the damnation of hell. It is a blessed possibility. The value of the work of Christ tonight is enough that you need not leave in your sins. There is no reason for you tonight to leave this meeting deciding, I am going to pray, and I am going to try, and I am going to change my life, and I am going to do whatever God requires so that I may escape the damnation of hell. It is finished. Yes, indeed. It's finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Tonight you lay down every effort, put down your hand to work. You can do nothing. You can escape the damnation of hell tonight because Christ died at Calvary and the work that saves is finished. Thank God what we are preaching is an absolute certainty. You can leave the meeting tonight not hoping, not wishing, not trying to feel as if it's all true. People sometimes get all confused in words. I want to tell you tonight, it's not a question of trying to realize that Christ died and trying to make it real that he died for me and trying to make it real that I really have eternal life. You can escape the damnation of hell tonight on the authority of God's word plus nothing. He that believeth on the Son, God says it, hath everlasting life. And he that refuseth to believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? God grant there may be some in the meeting tonight that will realize that God is speaking a question to them, piercing, unsettling, alarming. God grant tonight you may turn to Calvary and by simple faith in what the Lord Jesus did, take God's word for it and have this certainty tonight. The torment and the fire, mine eyes shall never see. I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me.